I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Life Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds. So today, I am so excited.
I'm so excited too, yo. I'm extremely excited.
We have the honor and the privilege to have one of my old youth from back in the day, like way, way, way back in the day. Yes. We have Mrs. Nicole Palmer.
Come on.
/ Wilson. Yeah. Pastor Glenn, we ain't forget about you, man. We ain't forget about you. I got you, yo.
Yes.
We have who we dearly call Nikki with us today.
Yeah.
And our topic is going to be rebellion, but still serving Christ.
Yep.
And it's kind of stemming from the previous episode where we talked about being a pastor's kid. Kind of like my story, but Nikki's going to talk about her story and how she got into, I guess, being rebellious. You know, every pastor kid, we enter that era where we're under church the entire time and we feel that pressure. So we kind of want to do our own thing and see what the flip side feels like rather than being with God all the time.
Right.
The only difference is that I was her youth pastor for many years.
Are you okay?
So I feel like this is a great opportunity to let you know how I really felt back then.
As far as that, I was right, you were wrong.
Yeah, so trauma. I kind of feel, you know, she gave me a lot of work is what I'm trying to put out there. Like she gave me a lot of work, you know. She wasn't easy to correct. She wasn't easy to line up.
Tell me how you really feel.
Oh.
It's okay.
I'm still a little salty.
It's a safe space?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm still a little salty. Like, she disconnected me from Facebook, y'all.
I did.
I was trying to correct her in love, and she just disconnected me.
I did.
So, anyway.
I'm sorry.
But let's go back to the topic.
Do you forgive me?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Because, you know, as a pastor's kid, it's easy to become rebellious, but still have to maintain the faith. Because it's not that you don't believe, and it's not that you ever stop believing.
Right.
It's just, and here's my take of it. This is where I'm a little bothered at times. People are very good at pointing the fingers at the pastor's kids. Oh, she's rebellious. Oh, he's rebellious. They're always doing this, and they're always doing that. But nobody ever asked the question, why did they get to that point?
Right.
Or how did they get to that point? So I know you struggled for many years, and God knows I tried my best with you. And I did see some of your highs.
Yeah.
And I did experience some of your lows.
Right.
And I thank God for that opportunity to be able to serve you during those younger years. But I guess I never really got to ask you one-on-one, like, what was it that took you to that extreme of rebellion? Because I think I was too busy trying to protect you and correct you without ever getting to the root of the cause. Because that's what we were taught.
Right.
You know, you put a band-aid on it and help them keep on pushing forward.
Yeah.
But now, in hindsight, I'm like, I really should have took time to discover the root.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't have to put the band-aids on it. Yeah. So talk to me, Nikki. You can be totally honest. This is a safe place. So you were rebellious for years, but you still maintained the faith at the same time. So what kept you there?
What kept me there? I think being rooted, I think that growing up in a pastor's household is what kept me there. I've had glimpses of the presence of God where I knew that he was real. So I couldn't deny his realness. I couldn't deny his presence. I couldn't deny the calling. I couldn't deny the purpose of God for me. That's really what kept me there. I can't say that I completely enjoyed being a Christian and a pastor's kid. I can't say that I enjoyed that.
And that's what people need to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I didn't enjoy it. It's not because at home my parents had us like soldiers and like, you know, walking straight lines and left, right, left, right. We didn't have that.
Imagine, yeah.
We didn't have that. But I think what you said is like we had to protect our parents' image. It took the fun out of being a kid. Not saying that I wanted to be bad. I didn't want to be rebellious. It just took the fun out of being a kid. Like, we had to protect our dad, who was so well known. You know, like, everybody knew when you went somewhere, that's Pastor Glenn's daughter, that's Pastor Glenn's son.
And still well known.
And still, now I take pride in it, you know, but, you know, before, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case at all.
But what was it that caused that rebellious side of you? Because, I mean, it's not like you woke up one day and was like, hey, you know, I'm going to be out of pocket.
Right.
What took you there? Was it one thing or was it multiple things that led up? Like, sometimes, I think when I was speaking to Jeremiah, he didn't even realize he was there until he was there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So what was your experience with
that? I think I only found out as recent as maybe like 4 or 5 years ago what actually had me acting that way.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're in it, you don't know the street. Like you just said, when you're in it, you don't even know why you're acting out this way. And trauma has a way of showing its face later on. The consequences, of trauma don't have a way of showing up right. They don't show up right away. You can have a whole childhood of being well behaved, but then trauma's like, yeah, you thought you were actually broken. You actually need healing. You're actually like, you're a mess. And I don't think that I found out that my reason for acting out starting as well. I thought about it when you first called me. I was like, wow, when did I really start acting out? I would say that it was sophomore year in high school was when I just did a whole 360. My mom would probably say it was a lot sooner.
She was like,
girl, you lying. No. No, I think.
Shout out to Pastor Maribel.
Hey, I think trauma, I could say it now. I am a victim of molestation. Rape, you know? So I feel like as a kid, you don't really realize the effects that it has on you. But later on, the choices that you make, it all stems back to that. And people told, like, I've heard people say, like, all my life, like, how does one thing have to do with another? No, it's very much related. And promiscuity, is that the word?
Yes.
That was my thing. Yeah. Yeah, you know?
So, I remember.
Yeah, you knew. So it's all related. Trauma has a way of just showing itself. And I feel like 10th grade was the year. It's not that I stopped, like you said, it's not that I stopped believing in Jesus. I did believe in Jesus. I wanted to do my own thing. I didn't want to live in my parents' shadows. I wanted to explore these feelings. I wanted to explore these desires. And I did just that.
And I remember being there for several, I don't want to say issues, but several different things that took place in your life. I had the privilege of being there, being able to pray with you and being able to pastor you, you know, back then.
Yeah. And but I want to say that I wasn't even honest with you back then. I couldn't be honest because I was afraid of judgment. I was afraid, no matter how safe you made me feel, and it's not that you didn't make me feel safe, that wasn't the case. I just think that I was so afraid of judgment. Like, where is my safe space? Like, if I tell her this, then will it get back to my parents? One. And then two, if I tell her this, like, and I feel like maybe it's like the enemy that puts these things in your head. Because as long as like, what's that? Like, there's freedom in your confession.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but he'll make you feel like if you confess,
oh yeah,
it's going to be worse.
Yes.
For you later.
Absolutely.
Because he knows it's the total opposite that's
absolutely
going to take place. So when you confess, you actually receive freedom.
Absolutely.
But he makes us believe that silence is the key and silence is the answer, knowing
yes
that if he gets us to feel that way, we won't ever be free.
Right. I suffered for years with addictions and things that if I just would have just opened my mouth, I would have been freed. Because maybe I would have told somebody that could help me through, you know, but I just felt I couldn't. I had to be perfect.
But you said something earlier. So I want to go back and dig a little deeper. You know, you said you were going to feel judged.
Mm-hmm.
why do you believe the people would have judged you? Other than the obvious, right? Because you're Pastor Glenn's daughter. But so nobody ever gave you that safe space? Or did you just, was it things that people did to you throughout your life that caused you to believe you would be judged? Or was it something that you just couldn't understand yourself, so you just put yourself in that place?
I might have had trust issues that stem from trauma and maybe opening up and not knowing if I guess, help me God. I feel like, and again, I didn't realize these things until I went through my healing process as like about 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I feel like when you go through like molestation, you know, from people, someone that's close to you, that's supposed to protect you, how do you go on in life? How do you find who to trust now? If I'm supposed to be safe with you, then how do I, and I wasn't, then how do I go on and how do I know? I can't, now I don't know how to judge anybody because I was supposed to be safe with you.
So, especially at such a young age.
Especially at such a young age. So you wanted me to open up to you, and it's not that anything was wrong with you, or it's just I couldn't, because how do I know that you're safe? How do I know? My judgment is off now. Now my judgment is off because of what somebody else did to me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On top of that, like we mentioned, being a pastor's kid, my parents were awesome. I oh my God, amazing parents. But there was always that, and my mom still does it. I have to get dressed because people know that, you know, your dad's my husband. I'm pastor's wife. Like, she can't go out in sweatpants. She won't go out in sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Oh, girl. Because,
you know what I'm saying? Like, she won't even do that.
I need
like,
that spirit. You know, I do. I need to adopt that spirit.
You be outside in sweatpants.
Listen, I be outside in my workout.
That's okay.
And the other day, not so long ago, I mean, little sideline.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into a pastor that I didn't know, but that pastor knew me.
Knew you. And you was.
And I remember thinking when she ran into me, she was like, Pastor Lissette? And I was like, my God. I said, God bless you. You know, I didn't know her, but in my mind, I was judging myself. I was like, I am still in my workout gear. Yeah. What is she thinking?
Yeah.
Wrong with that though?
No, it's not, what I'm saying.
What's wrong with that?
But you grew up like that way. Like you have to look a certain way. You got to portray yourself a certain way. You have to be, it's not that, I don't think they meant to put it that way. I don't think that they meant, or they knew the damage that they were doing in that. I guess I could say that.
I think times were different like back then, like to your point. So like
what's back then? So I'm only 36.
Well, listen, I'm only 30, so okay. We about the same time. We good,
you
right?
You said back then, like
because think about it. Like,
and I'm 35, so we good.
Yeah, you think so? Anyway, like during that time period, right? Like even growing up, like you don't know what a safe space is really. Like you don't know how to navigate it. Like I said, like being a pastor's kid, like. I didn't know until I was in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I didn't have an inclination of like, so I should do this and I should do that. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? You guys came in a lot later.
Yeah.
When you guys became pastor's kids, you were a lot older than we started young.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it's embedded in our heads. Yeah. Like you have to present yourself a certain way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know they meant well by it, but it was more so damaging because, okay, so then when I am imperfect and when I do slip up and when something is wrong, then now how do I voice that? How do I tell you this without feeling like you, mom or dad, are going to judge me because you're supposed to be perfect? I don't think they meant to. You know, I don't ever want to put it out there that they were.
I feel like mentally abused. If I can compare it, I feel like it's like being a leader without even told you're being a leader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when you're in leadership, there's a cost to it.
Yes.
You know, you can't do certain things. You can't act certain things. You can't speak certain ways to certain people. And you got to understand who you can take your mask off in front of. And not everybody can be in your vulnerable space.
No.
So it's like you're thrown into it without any instruction.
Right.
But granted, you have your parents for that. But like it's like you said, you didn't want them. I think the biggest fear for me was disappointing my parents.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. The biggest. I mean, they ended up finding out anyway.
Yeah, they sure did.
But like the biggest thing is like I knew I could come to my mom. But like for me, for my dad, it was always like, I don't want to disappoint you.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what it was.
Same.
But it was like I know I can go to my mom, but my dad's like, he's like the last resort. No, you know what I mean? So I was just like, man, I disappointed my
dad. I didn't want to hurt my dad. My dad, you know, mothers are like the nurturers. They're like the, you know.
They're like, it's okay.
And then dads are like, I didn't want to hurt. I was my dad's only girl. I just did not. I could never tell my dad the things that I was struggling with because for me, it would hurt him. It would hurt him more than disappoint him. And that was never what I wanted
to
do.
That's not an option.
So then there was never freedom.
But then you guys got to understand, because I'm a PK too.
Yeah.
So you guys got to understand that there were certain, there were certain expectations placed on our parents. And then they knew no better than to place those same expectations on us. Right. Because I'm a PK, you know, and I know we grew up that old Pentecostal style,
mm-hmm.
you know, no pants, no jewelry, no, you know,
makeup,
no this, no that. So
back
everything was
Egypt.
No.
Literally.
Right. No. And in hindsight, while I didn't enjoy those times when I was in it.
Right.
I wouldn't trade them in.
Absolutely not.
Because I am who I am today because of that.
I agree.
I thank God for grace. Yeah. I thank God for certain liberties that we now have that we didn't have growing up.
Yeah.
But your parents or our parents place expectations on us because those were the ones that were placed on them. So it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So they had to look a certain way. They had to, you know, back then growing up, people were more concerned on your appearance than on your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
And that's what bothered me. It's like my mom always spoke, like my mom was the one who would defend us. I've heard my parents discuss this, like growing up, I've heard them have like, I won't say arguments where it was like, you know, going crazy, but I've heard them discuss like, and I've heard my mom say like, my kids are just like everybody else's kids, you know? And even though she didn't make me feel that way, I've heard her defend me to my dad. And, you know, I've heard her defend me to other people over the phone. And I'm like, get her, mom, get her. You know, like, tell him, you know. But, you know, and that's what bothers me. It's like, y'all got bad kids. Y'all got some bad kids. So why are you putting these expectations on pastors' kids? And, like, nobody ever reached out to me. Nobody. Maybe you were probably one of the only ones that I can remember from my childhood, from growing up. You're the only one. You are the only one that I can remember that ever said, maybe not in these words, but how's your spiritual life? How are you feeling? Nobody ever asked me that. It's my first time ever thinking this. I've never had anybody ask me, how you doing?
That's because I was a product of pain too.
Right.
So having the experiences that I had as a teenager, right, as a pastor's kid, that had my son out of wedlock.
Yeah.
No. So when things happen, that bad experience taught me how to give grace.
Yeah.
So sometimes we are in expectation of things that others cannot give us because they have not experienced.
Yeah.
So when you're in a place of pain, when you're in a place of trauma, when you're in a place that you've gone through certain experiences, you know, I always say it at Hope that, you know, the University of Failure is the best university.
Oh, yeah.
While we never intentionally signed up
or
looked for the full scholarship.
Yeah.
We got it. Right. And paid in full.
Paid.
But I thank God for that university because it taught me how to be a better me.
Yes.
And in being a better me, now I can serve others better through grace.
Yes. I understand.
I can give the
empathy, grace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that I learned how to have.
Right.
And that I learned to give myself.
Absolutely.
So for those that were around me at that season that lacked grace, because I had many people around me that, you know, were elders of the church.
Yeah.
That did not show me grace, that did not counsel me, that did not care for my spiritual life. What they cared about was my act of sin.
Yeah.
But they didn't care.
Yes.
About my spiritual life. As a matter of fact, I remember placing phone calls that were never returned. I remember that. And that experience, that hurt and that pain from church folk taught me how to have grace on myself.
Yes.
I had no other choice.
Yeah.
I had to learn right. how to give grace to me.
Right.
And remember what the word of God, because they weren't mature enough spiritually.
Yeah.
To show me mercy according to the word of God.
Right.
I had to get into the word of God for myself mm-hmm. and give myself
yes.
grace and mercy.
Yes.
Because there's certain people that go through hard things in life and don't make it because they feel like suicide is the only yeah. way out. They feel yeah. like, you know, if I disappear, if I, you know, people would be better off. You know, I remember in one of our earlier episodes, I don't know if you heard me, but, you know, I seriously considered aborting him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what are people going to say? God.
Yeah.
I'm a pastor's kid. What are people going to say?
Yeah.
And I convinced myself, I said it in the earlier podcast, this is the right thing to
yes.
do.
Yes. Yeah.
This is, listen, I'm going to save their feelings. I'm going to save my feelings.
I heard you say that. Yeah.
People are not going to judge me because, you know, there was other things going on at that time, right? Mm. And they're going to think I did this on purpose. I didn't do this on purpose. You know, this is the answer. This is going to make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
Until that one day that the Lord spoke to me in the middle of the service and said, Lisette, greater to me is obedience
yes. no sacrifice.
Than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I remember I got up in the middle of that service and I left because I heard the voice of God so audibly. So this is what people don't understand. So when I say I'm able to give grace,
mm-hmm.
I was able to give grace.
Yeah.
It's because that's what I learned through my hard time, through my trauma, through my season of pain, right?
Right.
And I thank God because look what I would have aborted.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yep. Because I wanted people
mm-hmm.
to accept me and be okay.
Right. Yeah. I had my first thought out of wedlock. I remember having those same thoughts of like, the moment I found out, I laughed. Nervously.
Like Sarah?
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is happening. Yep. And I remember like laying in bed before my mom found out. Later, you have to ask me like how she found out. She knows. Maribel's nosy. So I remember having those thoughts of like I cannot embarrass my parents. My older brother did it. I cannot do this to my parents again. The best thing I can do, I'm not married to this guy. I don't even know if there's a future with this guy. I cannot. I can't. I have to either abort her. I have to, well, I didn't know it was her at the time, but I have to abort the baby because what are people going to say? Again, Pastor Glenn?
There must be something wrong with him that his kids are acting a fool.
Right. I just wanted to save my parents from that heartbreak. I didn't want to put them through that again because I saw what it did to them with my older brother. So I remember that feeling, but now looking back, I'm like,
thank God for grace.
My thank God. God I didn't do it. I didn't have the money anyway.
Hey, yo.
Some things never change.
I'll keep her. No, yeah. But seriously, I now I look back, I thank God. Like all three of my kids, I'm like, man.
But what happened?
How
to
they
us,
got here,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
thank God for His purpose, His plan.
So, would you trade anything you experienced? You know, now knowing what you know,
mm-hmm.
if you had the opportunity to go back in time and have a redo,
mm-hmm.
what would that look like?
I wouldn't trade any of it. If I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like it's molded me into who I am. I have a heart. For young women, that when I saw this, sometimes why I say things in defense of young women who are in a process or a struggle, people are like, what? I'm like, no. No, you cannot count them out. You can't, because
you were there.
What if God would have counted me?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. What if God would have counted me out and said, you're doomed, you're done.
Yeah.
You don't deserve grace. You don't deserve forgiveness. You're too messed up. You're too far gone. Look at what you've done. What if he would have? And a lot of times what these women are dealing with are things that, like, there are easy fixes, but because church folk are so proud, they can't see it, you know? But thank God for his grace.
I thank God for grace.
His I think grace. We tend to forget, like, Jesus hung out with the sinners.
Yeah.
More than he hung out with Christians.
Yeah.
His disciples were sinners.
Yeah. There's something that you said on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, on the pastor's one, and on the pastor's kid one, mm-hmm. where you said a church is like a hospital. And I love hearing that, because it's like, why do we need each other if we're all perfect? You know? I'm not going to say I've never been on the judging side. I've never been on the side of, like, you know, like, stating my opinion about something. I'm not going to say that. I'm not perfect. But that's what the church is about. Yeah. That's why, like, when women come to our church and, you know, our church is called Restoration Family Worship Center. And I always wonder, like, yeah, as much as a mess as they are, the name of our church is Restoration.
Yeah.
Right. You have a function.
That's our calling, to restore people back to who God originally created them to be.
Absolutely.
You know? So we can't just count people out. Like, we can't. Because he's been so gracious to us.
It's funny you say that. So restoration restored us. Right? We were restored at restoration. I remember when I got there, and Jeremiah and Vanessa were very little.
Yeah.
The rest of my kids were born there, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah. All them kids. Oh, Lord, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And restoration has a name because that is its calling and its function is to restore.
Yeah.
Right? Because as the body of Christ, we do have that obligation. We do have that function of bringing restoration. But even while I was at restoration, you know, we went through so many different phases. Like, we lost our home. We lost our cars. We lost everything. But out of that crisis, out of that traumatic event, hope was birthed.
Yeah.
So here's my point.
Come on.
You know, I can't give what I don't have.
No, you can't. You have to know.
You can't restore somebody if you yourself have not been restored.
Yeah.
So what the enemy meant for evil,
come on,
God turned it around for our good. Yes. So yes, the same way he took our messed up story and he used it for his glory.
Yeah.
We have to be able to have, you know, the love to look at others and be like, what is God going to do out of this mess?
Yeah. I saw a post on Instagram a couple months ago that said that parents, you have to stop trying to always save, like, your kids from the hard.
Yes.
From the hard, you know, from their trials.
You're doing them a disjustice.
Like, let them have their own story. God's going to use it. Later on, like, look what I've been through. Now I know God as the healer. Now I know God the restorer. Now I know Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I know him now. Not because my mom and dad told me about him, but because he's been that to me. Now, as a parent or as everything that you go through, it's just part of your testimony.
And it's hard. Like, I get it. And I think you'll agree with me. It's hard to release them.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we were losing our home, I was angry at God, and I cried out to God, and I told God, I said, God, now my children are going to lose faith in you.
Yeah.
For years, I taught them that you are the God that is able.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to look at you as a failure. They're going to stop to believe. And that was my fear as a mother. I said, they're going to stop believing.
Yeah.
You know? And that was the moment where I had to get out of the way, because now there's physically nothing I can do.
Right.
They had to learn how to grab on their own faith.
Yes.
They had to develop their own faith.
Yes, their own relationship. Yep.
And the only way they're still serving the Lord now is because of that, because they had to grab on whatever we taught them early on.
Yep.
But now they had to find out for themselves, is it true or is it not?
Yep.
Trust me, I found out. I found out real quick. Yeah. Found out real quick. For me, it was like, it's like you said, like, you have to create your own story.
Yeah.
Like, your own story, your own faith, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking about that separation, spoke about that in another episode. That's where my faith was created.
Yeah.
Told God I hated him blatantly. I hate you.
Yep.
I hear about this God who does X, Y, and Z, and you're not here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he was there the entire time. But it was just my time to kickstart my faith, my relationship. Yep. So at that point, it was just like, okay, this is what this is all about. Like, I knew what it always was about. I had that feeling, just like yourself. I had that feeling, but now I'm tapping into it for myself. Yeah. It's not mom and dad. No, me. I'm tapping into it.
Yeah. I always think about something that Pastor Glenn always says when he says, you can only worship God at the level that he's been revealed to you.
Yeah.
If how stagnant and how I won't say corny, but how deep would our worship be if you didn't know God?
Yeah.
That restored all the things that you've lost.
Yeah. Like
how deep would my worship be if I didn't know Jehovah Rapha, God that heals? How would I, how could I worship him if I didn't know that he was the God who was still able to do that? This is my story now. Now when I worship God, I'm worshiping from a place that I know him, a deeper place, you know, than it was before. Before it was just surface level. But now I know you and I know you're real. So you worship from a deeper place now.
And the good thing about that is that God allows us to go into the pit. Mm-hmm. And at times you're going to go into the pit by yourself.
Absolutely.
Because all you have is a whole bunch of people on the outside judging how you got to the pit, not knowing that the Lord allowed you to get to the pit.
Yes.
Because there's something he has to do to you in the pit.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
There's something he had to reveal to Joseph in the pit.
Yeah.
So it's hard. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard being in that pit when people are casting stones, when people are casting judgment. Look at them.
Yep.
It's because they're this. It's because they're that. And once again, never going to the root.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get there?
Yeah.
Why did they get there?
Yeah.
So it's easier to point the finger as to, you know, hey, look where they're at again. They're in the same pit again. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that pit.
I would not trade
that pit. I would not. Listen, hope is what it is today because I was in that pit.
Yeah.
I was in that pit.
Yes.
And I learned who Jehovah Jireh truly was.
Right.
Not the one that was preached to me,
right?
But the one I was able to experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thank God for my hard times. I thank God for my trauma. I thank God for my crisis. I thank God for every tear I shed because of how people made me feel.
Right.
Because they pushed me to that place of isolation that God needed to deal with me one-on-one.
Yeah.
So, by the way, thank you guys.
Ooh.
Thanks for talking about me. Mm-hmm. Thanks for casting the stones. Thanks for judging me and my family.
Yeah.
Because of that, I am who I am. And I'm not saying that in an ill manner. I'm not saying that, you know, to you know, what's the word I want to use? To say that I'm conceited or arrogant in any way.
But it is what it
I
is.
Am so humble that God chose me and trusted me with trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
God trusted me with trouble because there's other people that were in my same pit and didn't make it out.
Yep.
So God chose me with trouble.
Yep.
So I can't, you know, I heard a preacher once say, and I was like, you know what? That's so good. He said, you know, you guys went through the storm and you're angry at certain people when in reality, you need to send them a thank you note.
Yeah.
You need to thank them because if they didn't push you, you wouldn't be at your desk.
Yeah.
That's
so trust me when I say it with love. I thank everyone that judged us, that made us feel uncomfortable, that criticized us, that didn't understand. I truly love you. I thank you because you're exactly what I needed to move forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't understand that that's what the storm does. It elevates you to your next.
And I heard a pastor say it like this, and it was kind of dope. I forgot his name, though. He was like, I'm tired of people who want to reign with me, but don't want to go through no reign with me.
Yeah. It's the truth.
He's like, when I win $1 million, we won $1 million. If I lose $1 million, I lost $1 million.
Right.
Yeah. I remember being pregnant with Selah, and I don't know if the church had known yet, but I remember sitting in church. We were still at the school. And I was sitting there and I just felt so shameful. Oh my God, I felt so ashamed. I felt like when people find out about this, they're going to wreck us. They're going to leave the church. They're going to talk badly about my dad. It's going to be bad, you know? And I remember sitting there and that was the first time that I was just crying. And the worship team was singing, "Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me." And as they sang that, I felt the embrace of the Holy Spirit. this is not, this thing that you're going through is not enough for me to give up on you.
Yes.
It's not enough. And though maybe even after Selah, maybe I was probably still dibbling and dabbling in sin, but just that one experience, you know, was definitely like a turning point. Like just feeling the embrace of the Holy Spirit and him letting me know, like you said, he'll never forsake me, you know? And from that moment on, I just knew, I was like, okay, you know, this is just, I'm at the bottom of the pit right now. But there's more, because the Holy Spirit let me know in that moment, I'm still with you.
Right.
I've been here the entire time.
Never leaves us.
You know?
Yeah.
And it didn't matter at that point what people were going to say.
But you said earlier, you said about 4 years ago.
Okay.
You feel like you came out of that rebellious state. For me, it's a long time.
Yeah.
Because I've known you.
Yeah.
Since you were what, 8?
Yeah, I won't say that I came out of the rebellious state. I think that I came to the realization that of why I was so rebellious. I think that my husband and I had went through marriage counseling. And in marriage counseling, thank God for Bishop White and Lady White, who just operate at such a, like a prophetic level when they counsel, and she saw something in me that she was like, there's something more going on. Something more happened. Because after you deal with like trauma, I thought that it was just me. Like I was like, why don't I remember? I know something happened to me. I know who did it, but I don't remember it. I don't, you know, she said something happened. And through that counseling and through mentoring and the Holy Spirit literally rocking my world. I do not recommend saying yes to Jesus. Don't recommend it. Don't do it.
Don't listen to her.
Hey, yo.
Okay, fine. Say yes, but whisper it. So
whisper it. He ain't going here.
that's when I realized, like, wow, everything that I did as a teenager, every decision that I made, every man that I chose, it was based on that, on those incidents. And that's why I say that 5 years ago, I realized, wow, I am broken. I'm a mess. I am just, and I thought it was all good. I'm married now. At the time, I had 2 kids. I was pregnant with MJ. I'm fine. Everything's fine now. I'm healed. I'm fine. My husband loves me. You know, we're doing okay. Everything's fine. But then it's sitting in that session and the way that the Holy Spirit spoke to me through Lady White, it hit me. I am not okay. I am not okay. I am still very much just a hot mess. And that's why when you called me, I said, I only realized how rebellious, how broken, and how messed up I was 4 or 5 years ago when I went through that whole process where the Holy Spirit had to remind me of everything. He brought me back, I promise you, brought me back to those same moments that it happened in just to get to the root. It's right. Almost like he dug down into my gut just to pull up the root. And as hurtful and as painful as it was to be reminded of the moment, after he reminded me of it, I was free of it. So I know that the Holy Spirit is real now because he was with me in the mud.
1,000%.
What?
1,000%, yo. And that's the best feeling in the world, knowing like he's in there with you.
He was in there with me.
And I can attest to it, not because I've been through your process, but because you, like I told you before we started, you and Mike, shout out to Mike, you guys kickstart our season for the young adults.
Yeah.
And I remember you guys hit the topic of being prepared in the going.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about Gideon. But out of that produced so much. And I just want to go over some topics that came out of that.
Yeah.
Separate your calling from the details. God is not against me. The enemy wants to subtract clarity and wants to add a voice to subtract clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the blessing? Let's make wine. I'm here. thank you because I'm here and I'm moving forward. It's a fixed fight. Joseph, take your seat spiritually. And your why is your superpower, and then your thoughts are apparel.
Yeah.
So just because of your story and you and Mike, your story and your testimony, it just domino effect our whole season. And it was just one thing after another. There wasn't one Monday where I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to teach them. No, it was boom, 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 boom. I was like,
praise God.
All because you were real. All because you and Mike were real. Again, shout out to Mike.
Yeah. You don't know everything that you go through, man.
Pain has the power to produce.
Pain has purpose.
Pain has purpose and pain has the power to produce. Yeah. So we don't shy away from pain anymore. We thank
God. I don't want any more pain.
You don't want it, but we thank God for it because it is what takes us to our next.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We thank God because he is a restorer. And you were in the right house, the house of restoration.
Yeah. I thank God for restoration. I didn't, as much as I thought in my head it was going to be the worst time of my life, I thank God for those who did step up. Thank God for every deacon, every person that reached out and surrounded me with love. It was all in my head. Thank God that he placed people who did surround me and who did lift me up and who did speak life into me, you know, in my dry season. I will say that. I didn't want to leave that out.
Now listen, trust me, we are very proud of our roots.
Yeah,
we're proud of our home.
Yeah.
We thank God for, you know, Pastor Glenn's impartation to this day.
Yeah.
You know, he still imparts, he still corrects, he still loves on us. So, listen, your home.
Yes.
Where we miss.
Yeah.
But we're glad that because of everything we went through, we're now at Hope.
Yeah.
Giving hope to others.
Yeah, so. I love to see you guys growing. Every time I come back to Hope, I'm like, this is nice.
It's nice to see what God is doing.
Yeah.
But we stemmed from a great house, so.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. We sure did.
So, Nikki, thank you so much once again for joining us today, for being so transparent, for being so real, because this is what brings healing to others. Many want to talk about the glory of God, but don't want to talk about the process to get there.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for sharing your heart.
Thank you for having me.
We are so honored to have you with us.
Yeah, I will tell you guys that when she called me, the conversation, how did the conversation go, Pastor Liz?
Well, if I remember correctly.
Please do remember correctly.
I said, Nikki, we're doing an episode on rebellious people, and you came to mind.
So rude, yo.
I was like, I was at work, I was like, so... it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure where we're going with this.
And my kids told me, Mom, don't tell her that. I said, it's Nikki. It doesn't matter.
I was totally fine with it.
Like, it doesn't matter.
I was like, I get it. I get it. Yep. I'm the right person.
But listen,
I fit the bill.
And look, you did such a great job.
Praise God.
Like, I knew you would.
Praise God.
You see?
Come on, yo.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Oh, my God.
It was an honor for us to have you.
It's our first, but I don't think it'll be our last.
No.
Definitely won't be our last. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yes.
So thanks once again for joining us. Shout out to Restoration Family Worship Center.
Yes.
Senior pastors Glenn and Maribel Wilson. The best.
The best.
Of the best.
Yes.
So we thank God for you guys. And thank you so much for joining us once again.
Yes.
And Mike, shout out to you for lending your wife. Thank you.
She's home with the kids.
Thank you. I got you, Mike. I ain't forget about you, man.
If you guys, all women out there, young women who love Jesus just like I do, if you guys want to follow my page on Facebook, it's The Girl Go Pray. I'll be inspiring and uplifting all young women just to chase after their calling, chase after Jesus, and hope to see you there.
Follow that page for sure. Get in connect with Nikki. This is the end of the episode. Make sure you follow our producer, Vanessa, at Vanessa Films on Instagram. She's the best of the best. And Val, she's my producer, our producer. No shade. But follow us, subscribe, hit that notification button so that way you can get updates on new episodes. And again, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you want to hear so that way we can talk to you guys.
Have a great one.